Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Also, the live video stream, glad to have you. The Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Friday. Strings. Come on, horns. Yes. Yes, indeed. Big lunch. What day is it? Where is Bob Guthrie? Let's go.
Friday.
My man.
Thank God it's... Thank God it is Friday.
Yes, it is.
Friday.
Thank God it's...
Thank God it is Friday.
All right, let's make it a free speech Friday. Let's go.
Free speech Friday.
Yes, freedom. Say what? Bring it on. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-doo-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-doo-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da fun. Polo and Sam in. Chocolate Voice is out for Friday Night Lights. Polo, what's going on? You good?
I'm hanging in there.
Making it happen. Happy it's Friday. Got a gig this weekend. What are you doing?
Yes, yes, and yes. And
I think I'm like, maybe? And? Was there an end? Were there four?
Maybe.
Was there a maybe in there? I don't know if there's a maybe. Yeah. I don't know. So yeah, we've got a lot going on today. We'll talk a little bit about the NBA because it's underway now. And Charles Barkley has now put his foot in it. And I have no problem talking about Charles Barkley. I actually enjoy how he uses his First Amendment right. But I really enjoy the fact that I've got a First Amendment to respond. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about, I guess, Sam, are these child sex predators or just sex predators that have these signs in their front lawns?
Let me double check.
Why don't you double check then? So we'll do that. When Halloween comes around, if you've ever gone trick-or-treating with the kids, and I haven't done that in a long time, but last time I did, we were walking around and some houses out front had a sign, a convicted sex criminal or something, I don't know if they say predator, I don't know what the actual verbiage is, but there's a sign out front basically warning you, don't trick-or-treat here. And it has to be in the front yards. In some states, some municipalities, they have this rule, this law. Well, some don't want it there anymore. And they're suing to try to make it go away. Is it just child or is it everybody?
Seems like everybody.
Okay. We'll cover that story for you as well. Plus, we've got three great interviews for you today. We've got Victoria Coates from the White House. She is on the NSC Council. And we talk about Syria again. What's the latest? What move have we made? And how do the Kurds feel about it? Remember, everybody on the left in this country said basically President Trump told the Turks to go and kill the Kurds. Well, that didn't happen. And now he's working with the Kurds. And you'll hear what the Kurdish general actually had to say in response to all that. So we've got that for you. Also have a police major from Tulsa, Oklahoma, going to talk about relationship between the police and the community and some specific cases as well. Pretty good stuff. And make sure you stick around for Tracy Beans. She is a journalist out of Washington, D.C., with the latest on the uncovering of the deep state coup to take out this president. And it looks like a lot of people might face charges. And it looks to me, and it looks to her, like General Flynn might be completely off the hook. We'll find out more about that. Big news breaking on that today, even though the legacy media won't tell you about it. But I want to start with Charles Barkley. Now, I didn't see the NBA on TNT last night. I probably should have. Sam, you know this to be a fact. I enjoy watching those guys. Barkley and Ernie Johnson. I interviewed Ernie. Shaq is on there. Kenny Smith. They do a great job. Great chemistry. These guys are some of the best basketball commentators you're going to hear. They're very entertaining. Charles Barkley is not afraid to put his foot in his mouth. He wasn't afraid when he was a player. And actually, he was arrested a lot because of his violent temper. He would get in fights at bars and everything else. But then he's calmed down in his older age. And he's more of a funny round mound of rebound. That's what they called him when he played the game. But he oftentimes will wade into a subject he knows nothing about. And he did that last night. Now, I wasn't watching, but it was the top trend today. They had to have something against Trump or against Pence be the top trend, because otherwise it would have been the fact that McCabe and Strzok and Page and all these people probably are going to face charges because of what they pulled, leading up to an ask, leading up to an after, the actual election and the president taking office. Remember, Flynn got in trouble because of a phone call he made in the transition period. It wasn't after the president took office, and they wanted to allege that the president was colluding with Russia before he took office or some crap, which of course wasn't true. Flynn has pleaded guilty in a plea bargain to lying to the FBI, but that might go away because it turns out he probably didn't lie to the FBI. And that information is coming out, and it's shameful what the Obama DOJ was doing. So we've got that for you. Make sure you stick around. So anyway, Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley is out there, and he's yapping about Pence. He's yapping about China. He's yapping about the NBA. Charles, again, very entertaining. Was a great basketball player. From what I can tell, he has no athleticism whatsoever left in his body. I mean, none. He's like 300 pounds now. God bless him. Eat all you want, Charles. You're not playing anymore. He left, you know, injured. He had a bad knee by the end of his career. When he was playing, I mean, he's not that tall, 6'5", 6'6", and he was a rebound leader, which is amazing. It's a guy who really wants the ball. But he was also an angry guy that got in fights and yelled and screamed at people. At one point, he accidentally spit on a kid in the audience or something. He had to apologize for that. I mean, he's a guy that you either love him or you hate him. And I think he's pretty good. But last night, for some reason, they waded into, and they had Adam Silver on there, the NBA commissioner with the guys before the game. And they're talking about the China deal and the First Amendment and so on. And when it's Barkley's turn to speak, he says, Mike Pence should shut his damn mouth or something like that. Or shut the hell up about China. He doesn't know. When every company stops doing it, every company in this country does business with China. And when he stops, when they all stop doing business with China, then you can talk to me about the NBA. You don't know what position they were being put in over there and blah, 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 blah. This isn't about the NBA having a relationship with China. This is about the players understanding what happens in China. Okay? This isn't about the NBA having a relationship, because, again, a lot of companies do business with China. This is about China having no human rights at all. So when you've got a real political situation going on and a real human rights situation going on, like Hong Kong fighting to stay autonomous from mainland China, like Hong Kong saying we want freedom and liberty and singing the national anthem and waving the American flag, if you've got a general manager of a basketball team that tweets out support Hong Kong or free Hong Kong or whatever it is, that's not only allowed under the First Amendment, it's good. It's promoting freedom and liberty to a people that are fighting for it. So basketball players, in my opinion, at that point had the opportunity to do a couple of things. Well, three things. One, they could ignore the tweet that was sent out, which would have been the appropriate thing to do probably, knowing they were going to China soon. Two, they could support the people in Hong Kong because they're free and liberated Americans making millions of dollars playing a game. Or three, they can throw their support to China. Well, just about all of them did number three. Almost all of them put their support behind China. Well, we don't know what's happening over there. What about our own oppression here, says Kyrie Irving. Steve Kerr, well, we're mowing people down at the Walmart, at the mall with AR-15s. We have our own stuff to worry about here, as if nothing's happening in China, where they've killed tens of millions of their own people. And now you've got Charles Barkley telling Mike Pence, the Vice President of the United States, something he never would have done to Obama or Biden, but telling Mike Pence he should shut his damn mouth about China. As if companies doing business with China, that's the same as people fighting for freedom and liberty. It's not. When LeBron James says that you don't have any knowledge or you don't understand the situation, he's really saying he doesn't understand the situation. Or he's really saying the situation you'll understand is that this means millions of dollars to me. So stop it. You're taking money out of my pocket. What these people should all be saying is, we support the right of Hong Kong to protest and fight for their freedom. That doesn't have anything to do with our relationship with China when it comes to the NBA and spreading the brand. We want human rights for everybody, and we thank God we've got the rights afforded us by the Constitution. That's what they should be saying. They're not saying that. Instead, they're somehow saying that you're a hypocrite if you do business with China, and then you at the same time are saying there should be freedom for people in Hong Kong. How is that hypocritical? Yeah, China's a huge economy. A lot of the manufactured stuff is being made there because of previous presidents allowing our tax system to be so overwhelming that our companies had to go overseas. But the fact is, when somebody protests and stands up and says, we just want to be free and liberated, people who are free and liberated should back those people every time. Every time. Charles Barkley could have very easily said, listen, a lot of people doing business with China, maybe that's questionable as well, but the NBA doing business with China, 1-point-something billion people, is a smart thing to do, but I certainly support freedom and liberty for all people. And I think that the real moral of the story that blows my mind about what Barkley had to say, not that he said it, I mean, Charles Barkley is a guy who, again, historically has always said whatever he wants, and I support his right to say whatever he wants, just as much as I support my right to go back at him with my First Amendment. What he doesn't understand is what he just said about our vice president and about this situation could only be said in this country. If Charles Barkley were to go to China today and say, I think Chairman Xi should let those people in Hong Kong say whatever they want, and he should probably shut his damn mouth, Charles Barkley would never be seen again. He'd be in some sort of a work camp. He'd be in a reprogramming camp, where a re-education camp, they call them. Or he would just die. He'd go away. That harvests his organs. That's what happens in China. So before you think you know what's happening there, at least have a small knowledge of what's happening there. And it is so completely ironic and frankly hypocritical for Charles Barkley to utilize his First Amendment right that people in Hong Kong can't use. People in Hong Kong, they don't have a First Amendment right. And they're being killed because they're daring to ask for freedom and liberty like he just utilized last night. Interesting juxtaposition, to be honest with you. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
All right, great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, it's going to be Victoria Coates. An interview you're going to want to hear because we actually explain what it is that's going on in Syria and Turkey and with the Kurds. And it's an explanation you'll get straight from the administration, not one that you're going to hear in the legacy media because they're not telling the truth. She is the deputy assistant to the president, Deputy National Security Advisor for Middle Eastern and Northern African Affairs. So make sure you stick around for that. Going to happen in about 10 minutes. Meantime, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Certainly want to hear from you. Hey, Paula, let me ask you something. Have you ever butt-dialed somebody in your iPhone?
I don't think so.
Sam, you?
Well, not dialed, but text, yes.
You butt-texted somebody?
Yeah.
That would be so much harder to do than actually pressing a person's name.
I know.
What did your butt say? Well, I know what your butt says, but what is it? So anyway, you see the story, Polo? Rudy Giuliani butt dialed NBC, a reporter?
I mean, what kind of phone does he have?
That's my question. Yeah. You can't butt dial with these modern phones.
True that.
I mean, phones that had buttons like, what do you used to carry on the Trio?
Oh, man.
That I can see you actually pressing buttons with your butt.
You used to call me all the time with that thing.
Oh, stop it. I did not.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I remember, and I'd call you back. I was like, what's up? You're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you called me. You're like, no, I didn't. I was like, yes, you did. And then you're like,
it was a big damn phone.
Yeah.
It was a big damn phone. It was a big phone. You put it in your pocket, you're going to be dialing somebody. But why was it always you?
I forgot. We kind of had figured it out, but I don't know if it was because maybe I was the last person you had called or because the number that your butt always seemed to keep pressing corresponded to like my number. Yeah. So it just kept doing that. And you're not the only person. I've had a couple other people who would do that. And I would call them. And they're like, no, I wasn't trying to call you. I bugged
out. That's so weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if there are push button cell phones anymore. I guess there probably are.
There's a few.
But I don't know how you're butt dialing anybody, dude. I don't know. I mean, every phone, even Samsung's, they lock. You have to unlock them to get into there. I guess you could shut the lock off, the lock function off, but why would you?
I mean, the only
that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
I mean, he's left two voicemails in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, the only other thing that I could think of is if you're somehow pressing a button and then Siri comes on and then you're saying something and then she tries to dial. I mean,
Siri makes an audible noise.
Yeah, but if you're if you're an older person, you might not hear that noise.
Wow.
I'm not saying
so Siri
you.
Happens. Siri, not me. Siri yeah. happens to be activated, and he happens to say, "Call this guy Shapiro at NBC News." Come on, it's not like he called the switchboard. Very, and then he leaves some big long message about money and Ukraine or something. I mean, the whole thing's stupid. But I want somebody to get a hold of my friend Rudy. We've had him on several times. We love Rudy Giuliani. I think he's great. He helped to bring us back together after 9/11. But I wish somebody would get a hold of this guy and just say, hey, okay, Rudy, here's how not to do that. Let's lock this. Let's put a password on it.
What? Maybe he's like, got one of those like old people phones, like the ones that only have like three buttons on them where it's like call, hang up, and then, I guess the power button or whatever. I've seen those that are like super basic phones. I mean,
They actually promote them. I've seen the ads for old people.
Right.
This is so great. I've got the web and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a big, giant internet button, big, giant call your grandchild button. My mother's boyfriend has what he calls a hello goodbye phone. That's all it does. You can make a call. You can receive a call. That's it. No texting. No fancy schmancy. I got to tell you, sometimes I wish we could go back to that. But, I mean, not going to be butt dialing people.
Okay, so right now while we're talking about this, I get a text message from our engineer, Dan, and he said that on his iPhone, that if he hasn't turned the screen off completely before he puts it in his pocket, that, he's, butt dialed or dialed like his daughter.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So if you don't turn that screen off before you put it in your pocket, it could happen, I guess.
Well, this is going to sound crazy. And I wonder if you agree with me. I use my phone for everything but calling people. But, you know what I mean? The last thing I did on my phone was probably a Facebook message. Last thing I did on my phone was probably a text. Last thing I did on my phone was maybe check the internet or check out Instagram or whatever. I don't ever remember the last thing being I just made a phone call and we put it in my pocket and then I called the person back or something. So, I mean, I could see me butt Instagramming people or something. I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I always have a Bluetooth headset on when because I hate holding the phone up against my face. And I always need to have my hands free because I'm always doing stuff here at work or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see that happening when, if I were to put my phone in my pocket, if I was actually using the phone, I could definitely see how that could happen. But I
don't know, man.
So.
I don't know. Maybe somebody should talk to Dan about how to work that iPhone. And he's an engineer, for God's sakes. Don't be butt dialing people, Dan. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Does your phone allow you to butt dial people in 2019 America? Really? Does that happen? And your thoughts on Charles Barkley? We had a couple of calls, and I guess they got turned up by the butt dialing conversation. But your thoughts on Charles Barkley being completely hypocritical, talking about how Mike Pence should shut up, and he's actually calling the government out, calling the vice president out, in a country where he's allowed to, about a country where he wouldn't be allowed to do that. Is anybody else seeing the true and honest irony in that entire thing? He could not go to China tomorrow and call out the president, or if there's a vice president, I don't know, in China, but he could not call out a government official without going to a re-education camp and maybe disappearing forever. And yet he sits on a high horse, acting as if Mike Pence is the guy who doesn't know what he's talking about. And no, you don't have to stop doing business with China. You just, when they have an uprising where people want freedom and liberty that you're enjoying, Chuck, you should be on their side. There's no question that as an American, you should be on the side of those seeking freedom and liberty. As I said, we'll have Victoria Coates coming up, the Deputy Assistant to the President and Deputy National Security Advisor for Middle East and North African Affairs. Stick around. There's going to be great information that you're not hearing from the legacy media on what exactly is happening with ISIS, Syria, Turkey, and the like. Keep it here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Also Newsmax TV, it's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have back Victoria Coates. She is Deputy Assistant to the President and Deputy National Security Advisor for the Middle Eastern and Northern African Affairs. Victoria, always great to have you. Thanks.
Thank you, Pags. Good to be here.
Yeah, just saying it a little while ago, the last time I had you on, there was so much clarity that you gave my listeners and viewers because we honestly, and I do this for a living, it was confusing what the decision was about, how many people were actually being pulled out of that region in Syria. It turns out it was like 50, and then the president came back and said it was like 20 or 26 or 27. It wasn't like we were pulling thousands of troops out of Syria and telling Turkey, have your way, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it's also important to remember why those service members are deployed to northeast Syria. It's certainly not to fight the Turkish military,
right?
Nor is it to deter the Turkish military. It's to confront ISIS. And that is their mission. And that's what the president wants to remain focused on. He doesn't want mission creep so that we become the policemen of that region.
And the left's response to the move by the president was swift. It was, I believe, inaccurate. But they made people believe that we basically said, hey, Kurds, thanks for helping us. Now, if you die to Turkey, sorry, it's not our problem. I mean, the president didn't tell Turkey, go attack the Kurds, right?
Absolutely not. And, you know, for the United States, this is not a zero-sum game. We don't have to choose between the Kurds and the Turks. As we discussed, we have strategic relationships with both of them. The Kurds have been a strong ally, particularly in the counterterrorism fight. And I just point your listeners to something that's happened over the last 10 days, 2 weeks. I mean, the president has established a personal relationship with General Mazloum.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, no previous president has bothered to call him, get his views directly.
He's the Kurdish general, right?
He's the head of the security, the SDF.
Hey, I just want to make sure people knew, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I know these names that I use so frequently.
Right. And they're kind of new to us because you're right. There was a relationship
exactly.
that we knew of before this. Go ahead.
But that's really what the president has done. And,
sure.
You know, he tweeted out strong support today. General Mazloum got his own Twitter account this week. So we think maybe he's using that channel as well.
Good.
And so, you know, that is a very important relationship that now exists that did not before. And the president's also been extremely clear that the oil assets in eastern Syria, which were really the fuel for ISIS, that's what gave ISIS its budget to establish its caliphate, that those have to be secured, that we cannot let those fall back into the hands of ISIS. And we don't trust the Syrians or the Russians, for heaven's sakes, who couldn't do it before, to do that now.
Well, that's always the fear. It is Victoria Coates. She is the Deputy Assistant to the President, Deputy National Security Advisor for Middle Eastern and Northern African Affairs. The fear is that if we get out of the way, Russia comes in and fills the void. And actually, there were some reports, I don't know if they were fallacious or not, you can help me with this, that in fact, Russia did try to step in and become the friend of Syria, even more friendly, and the friend of Turkey, and maybe the friend of the Kurds, to sort of, again, take up that vacuum. Did any of that happen?
Well, I mean, the Russians have been doing that now for a number of years.
Right.
And I'd just point out that, you know, we are certainly not the reason the Russians are in Syria.
Okay.
I mean, they were invited in by our predecessors to deal with the chemical weapons issue when the previous administration decided they didn't want or couldn't deal with it.
Right.
So the Russian entrenchment in Syria is a fact we inherited, not a situation we created.
And you inherited it, if you don't mind me interjecting, because yep. Obama said there's a red line, and if you cross it, that's going to be a problem. And, of course, they crossed it almost immediately, and he did nothing. So somebody had to come in there, and then I guess his solution was, well, we're fine with Russia going and helping out in this situation, and we basically became a paper tiger. This president comes in, and Syria does something that he doesn't like, and he drops 59 Tomahawk missiles on him. So, I mean, he's shown that he's going to be powerful at the same time trying to get us out of harm's way. That's a hard thing to juxtapose, isn't it? I mean, how do you do both?
Well, these are the difficult decisions
yeah.
that, you know, they pay us the big bucks to confront. And, you know, we don't have, you know, the luxury of, you know, taking an abstract position on these things. We
right.
have to deal with the reality as we see it. And the reality is that there are a lot of bad actors that are interested in that, in those oil resources. They're, you know, ISIS first and foremost amongst them. And, you know, one of the great achievements of the president's first term is the destruction of the caliphate. The notion that we would somehow abandon that success is you know, it's just not real.
Right.
And of course, he wants to bring our troops home. He wants them to accomplish their mission, but he wants to secure the gains. But at the same time, doesn't want this to evolve into us being policemen and jailers.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you went there, because that's the fear, that we would give up the gains. It's Victoria Coach from the White House, and I always appreciate the time. Let me ask you about that. You had tons of ISIS locked up that I guess we were somehow guarding. The president says Europe should take part, take some of these people to them. That Syria should step up, Turkey should step up. These people need to still be locked up. A lot of them got out because the fighting started. Have we rounded them all up, and have we given any back that we gained? I mean, you're right. He decimated, and you decimated, and this administration did, ISIS. The last thing we want is for them to rebuild.
Oh, 100%. And that's been part of the conversations between the president and General Mazlum, and also between all of us and our Turkish counterparts, you know, that we had a not ideal but sustainable detention program for these fighters. The Turkish decision to have their military incursion disrupted that to some extent.
Yeah.
You know, hats off to the SDF to have continued their responsibilities to secure these bad, you know, the worst of the worst, as it were. You know, we continue to work on that program. We continue to try to bring our citizens home for trial here as possible.
Right.
But we, I mean, that's a tiny fraction of these folks. And, it's so we insist that the other countries of origin for these fighters step up and take their folks. And this has to be a regional solution. We cannot be jailers in perpetuity for, you know, large numbers of people who are not U.S. citizens.
And the fact is, they're very far away from us, and Europe is right in the target. Europe is going to be in big trouble if ISIS rebuilds, so Europe needs to step up, are they?
100%. And, you know, when I think they felt our commitment was open-ended, you know, they had the luxury of being limited in their response.
Yeah.
We've seen a much more robust response in recent days. You know, I don't know how real that would be, but we would certainly encourage our NATO partners, including Turkey, to be much more active in this problem set.
Good. It is Victoria Coates, Deputy Assistant to the President, Deputy National Security Advisor for Middle Eastern and Northern African Affairs. Let me ask you directly so we can dispel the BS from the left that's out there. Did we turn a coat on the Kurds that helped us? Did we say, we're not friends anymore, thanks for your help, have a nice day? And secondly, do the Kurds feel like we did? Because why do we have a good relationship with this general if they feel like we turned on them? So let's get all the leftist garbage out of the way. What's the real story between us, our relationship, and the Kurds?
Oh, I mean, nothing could be farther from the truth. And you mean all you... I don't mean to keep referring to Twitter, but General Mazlum's spokesperson came out and tweeted thanks to President Trump as the only person who could have come up with a deal for this region that does not result in significant bloodshed. You know, we're very concerned with displaced persons.
Yeah.
We're working with the Iraqi Kurds to help with that. They are also great partners and friends. We are very mindful of the religious minorities that are potentially vulnerable in this situation. You know, the president's released a large amount of money. We have other resources to devote to that. There's a lot of work to be done, but the fact of the matter is no one else could have come up, you know, would have the legitimacy with both the Kurds and the Turks to come up with a proposed resolution that has saved lives, and it has not cost any American lives. And that's the key to this.
It's Victoria Coates from the administration. You know, it sounds like a loaded question, but it's not. This is the last one. In the last minute and a half, 2 minutes that we have, can you explain the relationship between Turkey and the Kurds and why they're such a big deal? Why is there such a big problem? Is it ethnic? Is it religious? Is it geographic? What is it? Because I don't get it.
I guess, Joe, I'd say embrace the and there.
okay.
It's a very, very complicated historic relationship.
Yeah.
You know, you can go back to 1514 when one of the early caliphs, his name was appropriately Selim the Grim, took over the Kurdish region. You know, sometimes they've been aligned. Sometimes there's been Iranian, Persian influence. But it is one of those long, extremely complicated interactions made even more complicated in sort of the mid-19th century, say close to 200 years ago.
Wow.
When they the Kurds developed kind of a nationalist spirit and has been extremely contentious throughout the 20th century. So this is the situation, you know, and you have ethnic Kurds, a significant population in Turkey.
Right.
You have the complication of the PKK, you know, a Marxist group that
right.
we do consider terrorists. And so it's not a black and white situation. It's a gray situation.
Can they coexist, do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think they can, given proper, strong mediation,
yeah.
boundaries, you know, the end of the attacks on Turkey, the end of the displacement on the part, you know, the Turks against the Kurds.
Yeah.
And, you know, and quite frankly, if they can find some mutually beneficial economic ties, I think it would do a great deal to calm down the region if they have something they want to defend.
That always helps, you know, doesn't it?
Exactly. And we've had strong relationships with both Turkey and the Kurds historically, and, you know, our goal is to continue that.
It is Victoria Coates, Deputy Assistant to the President, Deputy National Security Advisor for Middle Eastern and Northern African Affairs. Just so people know, we never talk before these interviews about what I'm going to talk about. And the fact that you go with me and you take us on that journey, because we really don't know anything other than what the legacy media is saying. And what they're saying is always tainted with the "we hate Trump" brush. So thank you so much for giving me the information and putting it out there to my listeners and to my viewers. It really is so beneficial. I appreciate you.
I appreciate the opportunity. We have a great story to tell about this president and
yeah.
what he's achieved in the first term. And, you know, it is our job to get that story out there. So thank you.
And getting the truth from you always helps a lot. Victoria Coates, thanks a million. We're back after this on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you. It's the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-7247, whatever's on your mind's fair game on a Free Speech Friday. Hopefully you heard some information there from Victoria Coates that you didn't know before. The media, again, will spin it as hard as they can to make it look like the president somehow wanted the Kurds to be killed and turned his back on our friends. Look, you got to have the real story. And for the Kurdish general to be so complimentary of the president and to be working with him on a solution, that tells you everything that you need to know about our relationship with the Kurds that are good. There are some Kurds that are terrorists. We had Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Atticott say so. Those aren't the ones that we were working with. So when people say the Kurds, they act like it's just one group of people. It's not. There are very definitive segments of Kurds. The good ones we're working with, there are some that aren't so great. But the idea that we're just going to leave it alone and let Turkey and Syria and the Kurds all fight it out, that's not an idea that was ever even contemplated. But, of course, if you listen to the media, that's exactly what the president wanted to do, which is kind of dumb. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Again, whatever's on your mind, we'll talk about it on a Free Speech Friday. We've got Tracy Beans coming up, an investigative journalist out of Washington, D.C., the latest from the IG, the latest from the Department of Justice. How bad might things get for some former Obama staffers? Could be pretty bad. So we'll break that down for you. And we also have Travis Yates on. He's a major in the Tulsa Police Department, does great work, gives us great insight into community relations, police relations with that community. A recent case where a body cam exonerated a Tulsa PD officer from allegations that he pulled somebody over because of her race and was mistreating her. When you see the actual video, you know that that's not the case at all. So we'll have that for you too. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Why not find out where you're from, what your actual heritage is? You know, we grow up and we hear, well, this is where you're from and your great-grandfather. I've heard more stories about who I'm related to that I can't actually say I found out I really am. So I wanted to do my DNA kit, and I did it through Ancestry. Ancestry DNA, they will compare your results, and you could check out the history with their tests with billions of historical family records. Ancestry DNA gives you so much more than just the places you're from. With precise geographical detail and historical insights, Ancestry DNA connects you to the places your story started, and it could be just about anywhere. I know you think you know, and who knows? This might actually prove and make into stone what it is that you've been told your entire life. Or you might say, Mom, Dad, we got to talk. What's going on here? I just sent in my kit, excited to see the results. Head to Ancestry.com/Joe Pags. Get your Ancestry DNA kit today. Discover your story. Ancestry.com/JOEPAGS. Ancestry.com/Joe Pags. Get that done. Why not get it in the mail today? All right. The story that I mentioned briefly, where sex offenders are now suing a sheriff who put no trick-or-treat signs in their front yards. This is from MSNBC, so it could be fake news, written by somebody named Joshua Boat or Bodie. I'm not sure. B-O-T-E. Registered sex offenders are suing Georgia Sheriff's Office for placing no trick-or-treat signs in their front yards. The suit, which will be ruled on Thursday, argues that the signs violate private citizens' constitutional rights, mainly the right to free speech. What does speech have to do with this? Butts County Sheriff Gary Long put the signs up last year for Halloween to ensure the safety of our children, according to the sheriff's office. The sex offenders filed the lawsuit in anticipation he'll do it again this year. Georgia sheriffs, Long said last year, have a mandate to inform the public of the presence of sexual offenders in each community. 56 unincarcerated registered sex offenders reside in Butts County, according to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation's Sex Offender Registry. Mark Juracek, the sex offender's attorney, said on Twitter Wednesday that coming into their property and forcing them to display signs is not legal avenue to inform the public of sex offenders in Butts County. Georgia state law already prohibits registered sex offenders from placing Halloween decorations on their property. There are some sex offenders that aren't happy, Long said in a statement last year, but I'm not in the business of making them happy. I'm in the business of keeping people safe, the community safe, and making sure that our children are protected. I wonder how you feel about that. To me, it's pretty simple. If you're a sex offender and you're convicted, that means you did it, or you admitted that you did it, or a jury said you did it, or a judge said you did it, then you pay the price. I mean, think about it. Either you can stay incarcerated, or the public can be warned that the person here has admitted to or has been convicted of some sex offense. Now, there are different stages of it. I mean, there are some, you always get this argument. What about a 17-year-old boy who has, or an 18-year-old boy has relations with a 17-year-old girl, and in some jurisdictions she's a minor, and he's not, he's an adult, and he could be a sex offender for his life, and his life's ruined. Well, that's a very, very rare case, first of all. But secondly, maybe you get some sort of a gradation on who is it that's going to be having these signs. Somebody who did something horrible to a child, a pedophile. Somebody who is not allowed within 1,000 feet of a school or can't work with children, maybe the sign goes in their yard. I mean, because honestly, do you want your kid to go knock on the door of somebody who is a convicted, registered sex offender? I would think not. So I think warning, and you say, well, there's a website that you can go and you can find out where they all live. If I can go on a public website, why can't a sign be put in the yard? Well, it's his property. Right, but maybe one of the conditions of his release was that we get to notify people that you're a sex offender. It'll be interesting to me to find out how the judge rules in this case. I could see it from both sides, to be honest with you, saying, you know, I don't want you on my private property. But what if there's a fence? Can they come into the property? Well, I would think not. They'd probably put the sign on the fence. I think it is valid to say we should warn our children and our families that a registered sex offender lives here. I think that's valid. I think that's appropriate. How do you do it? Maybe the means by which they do it can be different. Maybe the sign goes just on the outside of their property. I probably would feel better about it then. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Lots coming your way. And keep in mind, we're going to uncover what's being uncovered in Washington, D.C. as far as what the Obama DOJ and the FBI did when it came to President Trump. Keep it here. Coming back.
You're listening to Joe Pags. The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there also. Newsmax TV, The Joe Pags Show, coming your way on a Friday. Strings. Where are my horns? Exactly right. You betcha. Hey, what day is it anyway? Where is Bob Guthrie? Let's go.
Friday. Thank God it is Friday.
Yes, it is.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's
Thank God it is Friday.
All right, let's make it a Free Speech Friday. Let's go.
Free Speech Friday.
We love freedom. Unless you're in the NBA. Then you don't care if people are free. Taking it up a notch. 888-941-PAGS, JoePags.com. Whatever's on your mind, fair game. If I know something about it, we'll talk about it. If not, we will move on. That is Polo. Kerry is out today, enjoying Friday Night Lights. Sam along for the ride, too. We'll have Tracy Beans on at the bottom of the hour. It's B-E-A-N-Z. Make sure you stick around for that. It's going to be a very interesting interview. We talk about what we found out from this investigation into what was going on before the president took office, leading up to the 2016 election. A lot of information you probably don't know about. I mean, was General Flynn framed? Was General Flynn given a fair shake? Was he forced into something? Was there something changed in what he said to the FBI? These are all important questions. And there is a breakdown by Tracy at uncoverdc.com, her website. Make sure you stick around for the bottom of the hour. We're going to uncover a lot of what's going on in this story. And General Michael Flynn, it turns out it's much more tawdry than we first thought it was. What the government did, what the DOJ did, what the FBI did to General Flynn while still under Obama, it's pretty disgusting. So we'll have that for you. And there's a lot more going on. Who else is in trouble? Clapper? Brennan? Rice, McCabe, who else is in trouble? Well, every one of those names I just mentioned could be in some serious trouble. So as Twitter's freaking out about Kanye West dropping a new song, and by the way, Paulo, can you help me out here? When I saw Kenny G trending, I'm like, the saxophone player? What the hell's going on? Is there some singer or rap star or somebody named Kenny G?
I don't think so. When I can look it up.
Well, I don't think there's any saxophone in Kanye's song. It appears to be a guy.
It might be possible. I mean, he's doing this whole gospel thing.
No, Kenny G is not on his album. This has to be this. This is every picture I see is a dude, but it's not. I mean, not Kenny G. I mean, we all know what he looks like. It's not him. Yeah, see, you're the music guy. You got to find out for me because I don't know what the hell what that's all about.
Does
Kenny G's trending. Wow, does he have a new album?
It does say Kenny G and Kanye.
Right, but is this a different Kenny G?
No, I mean, I'm looking at some of these things here, and they're talking about Kenny G, the saxophone player.
Get out of here.
I cannot.
And did he call the song Jesus is Lord?
Jesus is King. That's the name of his album.
Because the top trend is Jesus is Lord.
Well, the album is called Jesus is King, so, I mean, unless there's a song called that, but...
Tell you what, he knows how to handle Twitter, man. It's like every trend. So, but that's the biggest thing going on. We're not talking about General Flynn. We're not talking about the president. We're not talking about how Lisa Page did something that probably is going to get her in a lot of trouble unless she's cooperating. And maybe this is where they're getting a lot of this information from so she saves her own hide. Who knows? But Tracy Beans will talk about all of that at the bottom of the hour. Make sure you stick around. But let me start here. And again, whatever's on your mind's fair game. We'll talk about whatever you're thinking about. It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. That's the story on Fridays on the Joe Pags Show. Ted Danson and Jane Fonda got arrested today. I don't know what this solves. Paul, any idea what this solves? Does this solve anything when you get arrested for a cause? Well, Jane Fonda and Ted Danson got arrested, so we must do something about climate change.
I mean, this is her third time in what, like the past 2 weeks?
Right, and we care just as much as we did the first time, right, which is not very much. So I'm not following. This is from CBS News. Ted Danson is the latest celebrity to get arrested with Jane Fonda at a weekly climate change protest. This is written by Caitlin O'Kane, CBS News. What do Jane Fonda, Sam Waterston, and Ted Danson have in common? They're all iconic actors, and they've all been... Well, I don't think Ted Danson's iconic. Jane Fonda had one really good movie, I think. And I would say Sam Waterston probably... I don't even know if they're iconic is a strange word to use, to be honest with you. They're all iconic actors, and they've all been arrested on the steps of the U.S. Capitol in recent weeks. For Fonda, this is the third Friday in a row she's been photographed in her bright red coat as police put her in handcuffs. The 81-year-old actress is leading a weekly climate change protest in Washington, D.C. She calls Fire Drill Friday. Fonda moved to Washington to fight against climate change, and each week's protest features a special theme. This Friday, the focus was Oceans Can't Wait. Fonda's pal Ted Danson joined her at the protest, and both were arrested. Danson, who's 71, seemed to almost anticipate the arrest. He had a huge grin on his face as police led him away. Capitol Police told CBS News a total of 32 individuals arrested for unlawfully demonstrating in the intersection of East Capitol and First Streets. They were charged with crowding, obstructing, or incommoding. What the hell is incommoding? Wow. It's a weird thing. It's no secret that arrests at Fonda's rallies are possible. They're a regular occurrence. Just last week, Fonda and her Grace and Frankie co-star Sam Waterston were arrested. We can do this, 78-year-old Waterston said during the protest. We need something to push for that's as big as the problem. This is an ongoing action to draw attention and a sense of urgency to the climate crisis, Fonda said, for her arrest last week. Make no mistake, change is coming. Whether we like it or not, change is coming by disaster or change is coming by design. Okay, let's ask a simple question. I agree the climate changes. Wholeheartedly, I agree. Could not agree more. The climate definitely changes. That's not going to stop. Why are you protesting something we know? Why are you protesting something that you're calling climate change? Call it global warming, then prove yourself. Call it a climate disaster, then prove that it is. You're going to call it climate change? Yes, the climate changes. You're protesting will not change that. You have no effect on climate with your stupid protest. Why don't you protest something like shootings in Chicago? Why not protest something like people pooping in the streets of San Francisco? Why not protest something like the homelessness problem in Austin or throughout all of California? Those are things, if you protest, you might actually be able to change. You might be able to change for the better the issues I just mentioned. You will not, however, be able to stop climate change. Walked out of my house. Hey, you walk out of the house this morning, Paulo?
Yes.
49 degrees in South Texas. Did you go burr or did you like it?
Both.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind the change, but I mean, it went from 85, 90 a couple of days ago to 49 this morning.
Yeah, it allowed me to wear a long sleeve.
Climate change. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly right. The climate changed. Holy crap. Where's Jane Fonda? It was 49 today in San Antonio. Come on, man. Let's get real about this. Why don't you actually do something to change the human rights violations that are happening across the globe? The slavery that continues in Africa. The slavery, the sex slave trade that's happening here in this country. Why don't you do something that might actually make an impact? Find out why there's so much crime in certain places and stamp it out. Step up. You going to Washington, D.C. and being stupid, protesting something you have no effect on, doesn't help anything. Just makes you look like a 81-year-old doofus or a 77-year-old doofus or a 71-year-old doofus. That's what it makes you look like. And it's embarrassing. You're not solving anything in your bubble in which you live. You are not solving anything. Really take on something that has meaning. Take on something that's really happening. Take on something that you might actually be able to help. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Your calls when we come back. Stay here.
Joe Pags.
All right, great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS on a Free Speech Friday. Bottom of the hour, Tracy Bean. She's a reporter out of D.C., uncovering D.C., and the latest, boy, this is a bombshell. And you're not going to see a whole lot of it in the legacy media, but it's a bombshell that needed to be exposed. And where the chips fall, let them fall. And it's about time these people are all held accountable for what they pulled when it comes to the 2016 election. Let me go to the phone line. Say hello and welcome to Bill in Florida. Bill, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Living the dream, man. What's happening?
Listen, I got a theory on the new Green Deal. I don't know if anybody's ever come up with this before, or if you ever heard this before.
Okay.
I look at it, the federal government makes untold $1 million a year.
Trillions.
From the oil companies. Yeah, okay, billions off of taxes and everything else. The left is all about money and power. For them to say that they want to completely eliminate oil and gas use, that's billions of dollars that the federal government's never going to get.
Right.
My theory is their ultimate agenda is to put such regulations on these companies that it's difficult for them to operate, and their ultimate goal is to take them over, hence Venezuela.
Oh, yeah.
So the federal government gets twice as much money as they were getting just getting taxes.
Well, I mean, those screaming about the Green New Deal are the ones who want socialism. Socialism means that basically the government takes over all private industry, and then it can fairly dole out the profits and the items and whatever the manufacturing. Of course, it never happens.
Exactly.
What they do is they end up keeping the profits, and the fat cats all get rich, and they live very, very soft and happy lives, while the rest of us all start eating our dogs. No, you're right. I mean, that's exactly what they want. They want to take it over.
Yeah, but they're once again, they don't tell the truth about anything. They're convincing people that, oh, we're going to be able to do this, and we're going to be able to take care of this, and don't worry about it. I mean,
right.
My job, you know, what are they going to do with somebody like me? How am I supposed to go from call to call to call? What am I supposed to walk to all the calls?
Yes.
I go to?
Yes, or ride a bike. Yeah.
Yeah, or ride a bike. Yeah.
Until they decide that bikes somehow were causing, maybe bikes make us fart too much, and then we can't ride bikes because of all the methane. That'll be the next issue. Trust me, they'll find a reason to regulate bikes. All right, Bill, I appreciate you. Open line now. 888-94. Sam, is that what happens on the bike? Screening a call. Let me go to Pat, who's in Michigan. Pat, what's going on? Hi.
All right. I guess I'm following the bouncing ball you guys have laid down here, but I already had this premonition before. I got a little rapid fire for you.
I know what that means. You're following the bouncing ball, but go ahead. I'm listening.
All right. So I know you guys like Taco Tuesday, and you have fun with all the gastronomical delights that provide entertainment for all of us.
Yes.
But I don't think you can blame this on beans or broccoli. But I believe the left is giving all of America gas pains.
Okay, you want to explain why?
Yeah. Well, just think what I'm saying. They're making it a pain to get the gas. They're giving us gas pains.
All right, thanks, Pat. Appreciate you. So, Sam, what was the thought process of letting Pat through? Just wondering.
You know, he said it was Free Speech Friday, and he wanted to make a funny.
But do you think that was funny?
That was pretty.
Really? Okay. Well, Sam's still on her meds from not feeling. Polo, I mean, come on. You know, I like the gastro talk, but I mean, they're all giving us gas pains. I was like, weren't you waiting for something more?
I was.
And you also had your finger on the button, didn't you?
I did.
Yes. David is in Florida. David, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Living the dream, man. Talk to me.
Hey.
What's up?
Okay. Did you ever see that program, This Strange Rock? It was hosted by Will Smith.
No.
Okay, he had a program on, Will Smith. They talk about all certain things. They had a professor come on, and they're talking about global warming. Oh, my God, we're all going to die. Okay, then he says, we could fix this because we fixed the hole in the ozone layer, so we could fix this also. Did you know that we fixed the hole in the ozone layer? I didn't know that.
No, we didn't fix it. In fact, it fixed itself if there ever was a hole. So it actually took us to believe the crap they were giving us that there actually was a hole. I don't know if there was one or not, but we haven't heard about that since the 1970s. And Will Smith thinks we fixed it?
No, this was a professor said this.
Professor of what?
Professor
of toes?
Professor.
Professor of his face? I mean, it can't be a professor of the ozone or anything.
Pretty much. Well, no, I don't want to say it on the radio.
Okay.
On TV here, so.
All right, I appreciate that. Well, David, I appreciate you doing it. Yeah, no, I did not see that nor hear it. But I'm not surprised by it. I mean, you got Bill Nye, the fake science guy. He's out there dropping the F-bomb. If you drop the F-bomb enough, then people will believe you or something. It's all very strange to me. Let me go back out and say hi to Dirk, who's in Kansas City. Dirk, what's going on?
Hi, Joe. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks, man.
I wanted to talk to you about a subject earlier this week. You talked about a family who was struggling with coming up with the gender neutrality or the gender fluid or maybe the gender manufacturing of their young child.
Yes.
And it sparked a conversation with my family.
Okay.
I just wanted to get your take on this. So I have three sons. They're in their teens and early 20s. They so far are identifying as young men. And the conversation with my youngest, he was driving. And he was driving too fast, and I was on him like I was the other two, to slow down, don't get the ticket. The ticket's not the problem. It's the insurance for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
And the gender-neutral thing came up, and my son, being who he is, said, well, why don't the topic was your insurance is automatically higher because you're a boy. If you were a girl, the insurance would be lower out of the gate.
Right.
And you would be docked for all the problems. And he says, well, if the government's involved with all of the gender stuff, the bathrooms and everything else, and the government's also involved with mandating that the insurance companies that we have to have insurance, then why can't I identify as a girl with the government and get lower rates? And I thought that was an interesting question. I thought you might get a kick out of it. So,
well, he's got a head on his shoulders, that's for sure, Dirk. And I'll talk. Watch this or listen to my answer. First of all, that happens because the studies show that young men, when they first get their driver's licenses, get more tickets, drive faster, get more accidents. That's just a fact. That's why the insurance is higher, and I'm sure you knew that. So he wants to identify as a female or wondered, can I identify as a female? And then your insurance rates would be lower out of the box. Well, I'm going to say that probably would work in today's day and age. I'm going to say he's not a dumb guy. That probably would work in this day and age. But I'm going to also say, as you said, they're all identifying as young men. Dirk, they're identifying as young men because they are young men. And that's invariable. It's fixed. So, yeah, I would suggest that he not do that, because then he might be actually stuck with that nomenclature, that gender identity for the rest of his life, whether he likes it or not. But smart kid, probably would have gotten the desired result, to be honest with you. David, Kansas, talk to me quickly, about a minute.
Hey, MAGA, make America, instead of make America great again, maintain America's greatness always. Look at the sale you could make in that deal.
Well, they've already changed it to KAG, CAG, which is Keep America Great.
I know, but they made a mistake. I just thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, they made a mistake. Okay, well, I'll let Brad Parscale know that he made a mistake, the campaign manager. What else?
All right, the other thing is, they talk about these tax returns. I'm a CPA. I got online with Hillary Clinton's tax return, and by looking at where she made her money and tracing it back to the directors of the companies that paid her her commissions and so forth, you could then go to things like oil deals that she helped settle through people that are directors in that same business. I mean, it's a crazy deal how easy it would be. And all I'm saying is, I've been in the construction industry as a CPA all my life, and if President Trump puts his tax return out there, he's going to crucify this country, because there's so many things they would tear apart in the contractor's report that they don't know anything about, that, and then they would weaponize the IRS. All of that said, it would be a disaster.
Well, the IRS is already, Dave, I got to run. I appreciate you. The IRS is already weaponized, and it has been for a long time. It's my belief the IRS should go away, and that there should be some other means, maybe through a fair tax or something like that, to collect the revenue. But the IRS is not a friendly organization, and it's been weaponized a long time. When we come back, reporter Tracy Beans from D.C. about what was uncovered today. Keep it here.
Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Plus Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have from UncoverDC.com, it's Tracy Beans. Tracy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I got an email this morning from you or your people. And, of course, when I wake up, I check out Twitter. I know it's not really a news source, but it sort of tells us how the day is going to be set out for the 24-hour news cycle. And I noticed that the legacy media is ignoring completely what you're talking about. And they're talking about Charles Barkley, and they're talking about impeach Trump and everything else. But the fact is, we found out information today that suggests that all of the so-called conspiracy that CNN and MSNBC are saying that we conservatives are putting out mm-hmm. is not a conspiracy at all. I mean, really, things were going on. So let's start from the start. Lisa Page is a name that a lot of people know. She was dating Peter Strzok. They're having an affair. They had these very sordid, very odd emails back and forth, and he constantly suggested there was a backup plan to stop Trump from being the president. We're going to stop this. Don't worry. We're going to take care of it. And it turns out she had sort of a big role in the actual charging and eventual conviction of General Flynn. What was her role in that? What do we now know about what Lisa Page was doing?
It's absolutely horrible. So, yes, Peter Strzok and Joseph Pienko were the two FBI agents that went to interview General Michael Flynn. Yeah. Again, Michael Flynn has no idea he's being interviewed for a criminal investigation. He thinks he's just talking to a couple guys from the FBI.
And by the way, he was told, don't worry, you don't need a lawyer. There's no reason to have a lawyer here.
Yeah, Michael, Andrew McCabe says he said that to them in his memos.
Crazy.
Sidney Powell is saying now in this filing that didn't even happen at all. That wasn't even said to him at all. That's a complete lie. So, yeah. So he's there getting interviewed. And at the interview, FBI agents take copious notes, handwritten notes, and then they make a 302 form, which is like the FBI's, you know, official document.
That here's our record that we talked to this guy.
Precisely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it turns out that they wrote those handwritten notes, and then Peter Strzok asks Lisa Page to edit his 302s for him. And she did. She went in and changed the 302s from his interview. Completely not okay. Completely wrong. And the 302s that were changed demonstrate something completely different than what was written in the handwritten notes.
So in other words, they edited, they changed it to make it look more official, like they followed all the procedures, when in fact, this guy thought he was getting together to have a conversation about something the FBI wanted to know. He had no idea he was under investigation or basically being interrogated.
Not only did they change it in that way, they lied about what he said. They moved words around to make what he was saying seem as though it was, you know, it was criminal or he was lying. In other words, he said that he had... he said that he didn't remember calling Kislyak four or five times the night that he called him. And they wrote he denied calling Kislyak four or five times. So they literally set him up. They changed it after the fact. And there were different versions of these things. They were edited 6 months later. This is a travesty that's going on with General Michael Flynn right now.
And by the way, General Flynn, and this is Tracy Beans. Go check out her website, uncoverdc.com, uncoverdc.com. Last name is spelled cool. It's B-E-A-N-Z. I like that.
Thanks.
Michael Flynn, the general, was not charged with treason, wasn't charged with telling secrets to the Russians, wasn't charged with doing anything underhanded. He was charged with lying to the FBI, and that's what he was convicted of. And the lies, because he's always remained steady. I don't think I lied. And it turns out this changing and editing that you're talking about might show that he's telling the truth.
Yes, absolutely. And luckily for us, he hasn't been convicted yet. This is why this is all going on now. So what Sidney Powell asked yesterday was for this entire case to be thrown out and for the attorneys for the government, for the special counsel, Brandon Van Grack and the others, to be held in criminal contempt of court for the malfeasance that they've portrayed here. They are supposed to give somebody all of the evidence that could exonerate them before they sign a plea deal.
Right.
These guys didn't even give them the text messages they had. As a matter of fact, Sidney Powell says that it was an orchestrated thing with the media to hold back that information till the day after General Flynn pled guilty, and it came from none other than Clapper. So
Clapper's dirty. Brennan's dirty. We'll talk about them in a second. I'm confused about convicted or not convicted. Mm-hmm. If he took the plea deal and he pleaded guilty to this charge, that isn't a conviction? Is it not on the books yet? What does that mean?
He hasn't been sentenced.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not.
So it can still be stopped before the sentence happens?
Yes, sir.
Because he's already lost a rank. He's already lost his house. He spent every dime he had on lawyers. After the fact, had he known this stuff up front, he could have been better prepared.
Yeah,
and certainly, maybe let's record this and not just let you say what you think I said. I mean, in this day and age, Tracy, let me ask you that. Because the same thing with Hillary Clinton when she was talked to on 4th of July, for God's sakes, or whatever it was that weekend, there was no recording devices. Nobody even did a 302 as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
And then James Comey goes for 14 minutes telling us why she should have been convicted or why she should be prosecuted. And then at the end says, I don't think anybody should prosecute her. Are we really not using electronic devices at the FBI to record these things?
It's really crazy that you ask that, because that's an argument that Sidney Powell makes in this filing. There is absolutely no reason for forms like this in a 10 in the charges he's a charged, you know, he's accused of breaking in the law. There's no reason for recording devices to not be used in these interviews. Absolutely. So
we're supposed to just take the one side, the prosecution side or the government side, and not give him a side at all. Yep. I mean, maybe he should have done a 302 and said, well, no, this is what I really said. So what happens when because I've never talked to the FBI on that level anyway. I've talked to FBI agents, but if you get interviewed by the FBI or interrogated by the FBI, you really have nothing that you get to counter what they're writing down? This is the way it works in this day and age?
You're typically allowed to have your counsel with you. And that's exactly what the problem is here, is that they didn't give him the opportunity to have his attorney with him or the White House counsel, because he had no idea he was being interviewed. That's the whole point. So, yes, exactly. You're supposed to have a lawyer with you in these investigations, in these interrogations or whatever they are, to be able to defend your rights and to keep track of what's happening. Didn't happen with General Flynn.
It's Tracy Beans. Her website is uncoverdc.com. What could happen to Lisa Page? She could face charges. No, I mean, she altered a governmental document.
It all depends on what else she's participating in or cooperating in or, you know, whatever. So obviously they interviewed her in October of 2018 for some investigation for which there's a 302. So something's going on. We'll have to wait and see.
All right, so Clapper, talk to me about this. I mean, it appears as though, and I always call him the Clapper because I'm an idiot, and then I go clap on, clap off. But anyway, John Clapper, the former NSA guy, right? He's suddenly was it Clapper or Brennan that got a hold of the journalist and said, okay, let's shoot the kill shot on Flynn. Who was it that did that? So Clapper does that. So who documented that? How do we know that?
There's notes. There's it appears as though Sidney Powell's gotten her hands on some of that information from outside sources. Okay. And he was also on Anderson Cooper last night, stammering and I don't know what they could possibly be looking at me for. He's so deep in all this, it's not even funny. I mean, this is really getting crazy now. And I'm so thankful that you have me on today to talk to your audience about it, because it's not being reported
a lot. Tracy, it's confusing.
Yeah.
It's confusing. And the left, the legacy media, as I call them, because they're old school, they are in the swamp with them. They're in the establishment. They are in the deep state, and they want to keep this stuff from coming out. So today we'll hear 30 things that Trump did wrong, but you won't hear this at all. I mean, Clapper is going down. I mean, from what this looks like, he's got a journalist, an alleged journalist in his pocket, ready to fire the shot whenever I say so. I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah, there's cooperation with the media, which is why I'm always saying that these folks are not just journalists. They're probably assets at the same time. I mean, there's no way that these people don't do the due diligence to look into what is actually happening. There's no way they're this stupid. I'm sorry to be frank, but there's just no way they're this dumb.
Right.
I do this for a living, and I always look at both sides to see if I'm right or wrong. You know, I could be wrong about... There's no way. They're playing along.
Well, that's the way you do the job. Yeah, no, being a journalist means that you keep a journal of what actually happened, not what you want people to think happened. It's Tracy Beans. Get to her website, uncoverdc.com. So who's implicated here? It's Brennan. It's Clapper. It's Page. Struck, obviously. Or, I don't know if we're calling him Stroke or Struck. McCabe is in deep doo-doo.
Comey.
So, I mean, all of these people are in trouble. Comey. Yeah, but, I mean, for some reason, Barr seemed to make it a couple of months ago, made it seem like Comey is in the clear and he's not suggesting charges, is he not?
No. That's not what that was. That's another thing that was misportrayed by the legacy media.
Tell us what it really is.
So basically that case, the reason that he didn't bring charges against Comey is because he has so many other things going on. Not only that, but the leaking that he did and the way that Comey did it, he really covered his butt. And he had classification power over the information in those memos. So he didn't classify it the way it should have been classified. It was retroactively classified.
Okay.
So when Horowitz recommends charges to the DOJ and says this was classified information that he leaked, when he did it, it wasn't.
So Comey's response is it's not classified. But any memo from the FBI director, I can make a good argument, Tracy, is classified. Any conversation between the FBI director and the commander-in-chief, I can make an argument, automatically is classified, is it not?
Yes, but can you convince in Washington, D.C., a jury of 12 of James Comey's peers to convict him on something like that to start this entire thing off? Is that what you want to go down on? That's not the way you want to
probably not. No, it's not going to. It's not going to succeed in Washington. That's a great point. It's Tracy Beans, B-E-A-N-Z, which is great. UncoverDC.com, UncoverDC.com. What's the next step? What happens now? Other than the spin you'll get from the left that this is a witch hunt and this is a conspiracy theory and Fox News and Joe Pags made it up or whatever. what really happens next? Legally and mechanically through our judicial system, what happens?
Well, now we have a hearing on the 7th to find out what happens with Flynn. And then we're going to start to see whether or not Durham starts rolling out indictments, criminal indictments for folks. And I am under the belief that that will happen. There will be accountability for all of this.
Is it your supposition that Michael Flynn will get his name back and will be exonerated of all this?
I cannot see this judge, who is a very fair judge. Sidney Powell knows him very well. She wrote a book about him.
Yeah.
I cannot see this judge letting this go. I just can't. So I hope.
And a man deserves it. This man's been through the ringer, and he was made the scapegoat. And it wasn't really about getting him. I mean, this is me commenting now, but it's not really about getting him. They got him to say, look how dirty Trump is. Michael Flynn was just a pawn by the left to Trump or by the deep state to take down this presidency, either before it ever happened, because that's when they started. That's what this phone call was. It was in the transition period.
Yep.
Or as soon as he took office to show why the 25th Amendment or unfit or he's a Russian asset. So at the end of the day, Michael Flynn can hold his chest out and his shoulders back, but I got to ask you about Comey one more time. When this thing happened with Barr a month or two ago, and I'm glad that you explained it, Comey did a victory lap. He did all the media. He said, see, I told you, he's tweeting about how God's grace has his back and all this holier than thou crap. You're telling me that we all should have known right up front that he wasn't in the clear?
It's confusing, and that's exactly the point. Comey can cheer all he wants and run around all he wants.
You saw him do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was laughable to those of us who are doing this work. So yeah, he can do that all he wants. It's going to catch up with him very, very soon. And remember that the Obama administration was after General Flynn back in 2014. So they didn't like his stance on Iran and how he was forceful against what Barack Obama was trying to do in Iran. So they had an axe to grind with Flynn for a long time.
Last question, quick answer if you can. Does this go to Lynch? Does this go to Rice? Who else is involved in this? Does this go as high as Obama?
It definitely touches Obama. Do I think that we're going to get up there with criminal culpability? I'm not really sure. That's not where I'm looking for the targets to land right now. So
okay. Rice and Lynch, though?
Likely.
Wow.
Likely.
This is great stuff. Tracy, let's stay in contact. Let's do it again very soon. It's Tracy Beans. Her website is uncoverdc.com. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, you too. We're back after this on the Joe Pags Show. You stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you, the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Lots going on. Tracy Beans brings a whole lot of information. I thought that was great. I hadn't met her before. We hadn't talked before. But I got that email this morning. I was like, I really do want somebody to explain what's going on and make it easy for all of us to understand exactly, whether the Obama DOJ, which has been rumored and has a little piece of information coming out here and there, to have done really bad stuff leading up to the election in 2016, and even after the election, between the election and the actual taking of the office, and even after President Trump took office, all these allegations are slowly but surely coming to fruition. And these people who have been making all this money on CNN and MSNBC and out there flaunting their books and everything else, they're in deep trouble, man. And they should be. They should be. It's not okay to act as they've acted. The FBI is necessary. And many people in the FBI are amazing. I know some FBI agents are great. But the hierarchy is such that it's just the political wing now of whatever party or whatever president puts them in power. Comey, what a joke. And finding out what was going on at the FBI under his guidance and his leadership has to tell you every single thing you need to know about Jim Comey. He can go on and on about how holier than thou he is and and the Lord has his back, and the wind of the wings of the eagles of the Lord, and they're just an idiot. If you ever see some of his tweets. But his leadership clearly is why this was allowed to happen, or his lack thereof. I guess the leadership was there, just leading people not to be a great FBI. He was leading people to be his minions to do his political work, and to do Lynch's political work, and Eric Holder's political work, and Barack Obama's political work. That's not the role. The role is to be the Federal Bureau of Investigation. You investigate federal crime. That's what you do. You don't seek out political foes and try to take them out. It's crazy to me. All right, got to tell you about Superbeats. Superbeats is great. You've been listening to my show. You know that I take Superbeats every day. Some days I get busy, get tied up, and I forget. Well, they've got a brand new product that's helping me. I can help you out, too. It's called Superbeats Soft Chews. Superbeats Soft Chews, they give me all the potent heart health benefits of Superbeats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. Superbeats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grapeseed sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grapeseed extract that's used in Superbeats Soft Chews, clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Superbeats Soft Chews today, joelovesbeats.com, www.joelovesbeats.com, or call them 800-516-8389. And when you get two bags, they're going to throw in a third bag for free. That's joelovesbeats.com, joelovesbeats.com, or give them a call on the phone, 800-516-8389. Do it right now. Let me go to the phone lines at the time we have remaining. We should have time for a call or two. Again, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. And again, we're going to keep an eye, and I'll have Tracy Beans on more. We'll keep an eye on what's going on. And we're going to keep you updated as much as we can. When you turn on NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, when you turn on these networks, you're going to find that if they mention it, it'll be in passing. And if they mention it, they'll bring on some expert, and the expert will say why this is no big deal. The expert will say why this isn't an issue. Expert will say why Flynn really did do what he said he did. He's already pleaded guilty, so you can't change it now. When it turns out, you can. And I wonder if the president, now seeing this information come down, will pardon General Flynn. Or will he have to? He might not have to, because it looks like Flynn might be exonerated without the president's help. But if he's not, I don't see any reason why, with this new information coming in, why the president would not go ahead and give him a pardon. If nothing else, nobody disagrees with this fact. Flynn was not allowed the customary attorney before he was questioned and interrogated by the FBI, and they misled him on what the meeting was going to be all about. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Got to go on TV. Stay here for radio.
This is the Joe Pags Show. The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Also, the live video feed at the website, joepags.com. The Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Friday. Yes, freedom. Uh-huh. Say what? Bring it down. Bottom of this hour, Major Travis Yates, Tulsa Police Department. Great information, the community and the police. How do we make it better? Recent case in Tulsa where a woman did not comply to anything the officer was asking. Then complained that it was some sort of violation of her rights, being pulled over and so on. Body cam footage shows that she was full of it. So we have him on to talk about that. He's got a book. He's got a website, all of that. Definitely want to hear from him at the bottom of the hour. Make sure you stick around. Also want to hear from you. It's a Free Speech Friday. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. And whatever's on your mind is going to be fair game. If I know something about it, we'll talk about it. If not, we'll move on. Every so often you find a story that makes you go, really? Really? I mean, listen, I'm not for counterfeit money, in any way, shape, or form. Paula, we've had that discussion, haven't we? Pags doesn't like the counterfeit money.
Yes.
Just play along.
I'm waiting to see where you're going to go with this, though.
Well, if you were going to use fake money, though, what's the largest denomination you'd go for, you think?
I mean, to where it wouldn't draw too much attention? I mean, I don't know how to go past 100.
Yeah, me either. I probably wouldn't go past the 20, to be honest with you. A lot of people that do counterfeit and forge money and all that, and again, I've never done it, but you hear the reports and you see the stories, are doing fives and tens. Nobody's going to think you're going to counterfeit a five. But 100 may be on the top end. Newsweek story via MSN, so it could be fake. Police hunt for a man who tried to buy an iPhone with a fake $1 million bill.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Yep.
That's getting way too greedy right there.
So was he waiting for change? What was he hoping that would happen? I mean, the saying stupid criminal is not something just to say. It's true. Thank the good Lord above that criminals are so damn stupid. A man who tried to purchase a used iPhone with a counterfeit $1 million bill is being sought by police after he attacked the seller's friend when the fraud was noticed, which probably was pretty fast that it was noticed. The Times Tribune in Scranton, Pennsylvania reports that Alexis Brown was trying to sell her iPhone 6S online for $100. A buyer contacted her, said he was interested, and the pair met on Alder Street and South Irving Avenue to complete the transaction. The buyer, described as a man in his late teens or early 20s, slim build and blonde hair, handed her a roll of bills bound together with a rubber band. Brown handed him the phone, at which point he walked away before she could examine the cash. When she unrolled the bills, according to the police, she discovered the man had given her two ones, a 10, the fake $1 million bill. Brown shared the story with a girlfriend, Bonnie Wollo, who then tracked the young man down. When Wollo confronted the fraudster about his fake million, he punched her in the face and fled the scene. Police say he was last seen wearing a white sweater with NASA on it. Believe me, he's no astronaut, this guy. No astrophysicist. He's no space traveler. Story continues, this is not the first time that a counterfeit $1 million bill has been passed off. In 2004, a woman was arrested in Georgia for attempting to use one to pay for $1,674 worth of merchandise at Walmart, CBS News reported. The police report said she initially tried to pay with a pair of gift cards and a combined balance of $2.62, then told the cashier, "All I have is this," showed her the $1 million note, and asked for change. Employees called police, and then she was booked on forgery charges. Even bigger phony bills have made their way into circulation with equally embarrassing results. On Valentine's Day 2014, a man named Michael Williams was eating at an Applebee's in Sumter, South Carolina, and his debit card was declined, according to WIS-TV. Then he attempted to pay the tab with a novelty $1 trillion bill. Police were called and took him into custody in an outstanding contempt of court charge. The highest denomination of bill currently being printed in the United States is 100. However, for 3 weeks between the end of 34 and 35, the Treasury printed out a number of $100,000 notes that were not placed in circulation but instead used for transactions between Federal Reserve banks and had the equivalent amount of gold on hand to back them up. Other high-denomination bills, including a $1,000 and $10,000 note, were introduced in 1928, discontinued in 1946. So again, I urge you, don't counterfeit money. Don't use counterfeit fake money. Stop it. But if you're going to, did you think a million was going to work? Paul, you think that guy thought that was going to make it happen for him?
I'm just wondering, who is on the $1 million bill?
It's a great question.
I mean, would
they don't have a picture of it?
I'm thinking that maybe it would be Regis Philbin, maybe.
Because of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yes.
Could be Trump, but that'd be $1 billion bill, wouldn't it?
Or it could be Dr. Evil.
Could be. Well, that would be billion.
No, because he said $1 million. So
I thought he said $1 billion.
No, he asked for a million. They laugh at him, so then he changes it to a billion.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But you got $2 in a fake $1 million bill. I'm saying don't try to buy something on Craigslist. Just going to put it out there. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Lots of people calling in. And we appreciate you. Ruth is in Oklahoma. Ruth, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to call and say thank you so much for what you do.
You're welcome.
I did not know. I really do appreciate you. You know, I tell you, the older I get, the more I appreciate every gift God puts into this country, whether it's talk show hosts or soldiers, good politicians, good teachers, good doctors. You know, it matters how all of us live. It really does. It's collective, and it affects our nation. And I thank you so much. I did not know that about General Flynn's transcripts, that they had been edited.
Isn't that crazy?
What a wicked thing.
It's disgusting.
Somebody.
I mean, they set him up. They framed him, and then when he didn't do what they wanted him to do, they changed what he said. That's sick.
My God, they could do that to any of us. And you know what? Those people should be sent to jail right after we clean out their bank accounts and hand it over to General Flynn so he can rebuild his life. And what a patriot! You know, he didn't get ugly about it. He maintained his dignity and withstood that trial. I mean, kudos to him. I hope he gets a promotion with the military.
Well, he had a very firm chin through the entire thing, and he was demoted over this, and he should get his star back. That, and I think the president should step in if the right thing isn't done.
Well, I think, you know, I would hold off on the pardon until it plays out.
Yeah.
Because I think his name should be cleared on his own and then the pardon granted. And then I think he should be compensated. You know, these people have gotten away with blackmailing, rip the taxpayers off.
Yeah.
They're also busy making a living. We can't watch what they're doing. And that's where y'all come in. And so appreciate you. I really, truly do. And I just wanted to call and say thanks.
Well, Ruth, I got to tell you, it means the world to me. You're very welcome. And thank you for understanding what we do. You know, we have a lot of fun, too. But we want to make sure that we get the proper news out there and then proper commentary with it. I would not put me in the ranks of the military and others that she found important. But that I'm making a difference at all in your life, I appreciate that. And thank you so much for letting me know. Let me go to Sam, who's in Michigan. Sam, what's on your mind? Hi.
Yeah. Hey, how are you doing? I just wanted to say I lived in China for a couple of years, and if Charles Barkley said something in China about a high-ranking government Chinese official, the way that he spoke about our vice president, he would disappear.
Gone.
I'll never forget. I had a group of students over for dinner, and someone badmouthed Mao, and you could have heard a pin drop. The conversation died, and they cleared out of there faster than fast.
Wow. Everybody freaked out that somebody even said it in a private setting?
Because very high chances that we're being bugged. Oh yeah,
wow.
For sure.
Sam, it's amazing, I don't think somebody as disconnected as Charles Barkley or LeBron James or any of these players or former players that are commenting on this, I don't think they have any clue of the real China. As I said the other day, when they go, China shows them the best of the best and gives them the American tourist treatment. When I went there to adopt my daughter, that's what I got as well. You don't find out about real China, and Charles Barkley would never in Beijing say, hey, by the way, I think that that Xi is a piece of crap. There's no way, but he would be done. Gone.
Exactly. He would disappear to a re-education camp is what would happen.
Sam, I hear you.
You wouldn't see him again.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you for the insight. Open line now, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. I think James in Boston, Sam, is that the same James in Boston been trying to get through for a couple of weeks?
Yes.
I'm going to take James when we come back. I want to see what he has to say about taxes. I'll let it play out. I think he sent me an email, too, that I haven't really looked into as much as I should have. I'll give James the benefit of the doubt and let me know why he says, I believe this is what he says, that the American people aren't supposed to pay taxes, that just either the government is or the companies are. He'll explain it. He knows exactly how it goes down. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS. JoePags.com. Major Travis Yates from the Tulsa PD. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, so about 11 minutes from now, 12 minutes from now, something like that. We talk about his book, we talk about his website, we talk about police and the community getting along, body cams, the importance of that, and much more. get into a lot of stuff that you're going to really want to hear, so make sure you stick around. Let me go back at it. A lot of people want to be heard on a Free Speech Friday. We haven't taken that many calls today, so I'll continue with calls here. I appreciate you taking the time. On line three, James is in Boston. James, you've been dying to tell me something about taxation, and I'm listening. I'm all ears. Tell me.
Well, real fast, I wanted to compliment you. I am mightily impressed, Joe, that you remembered all that stuff that I wanted to talk about, taxes and so forth. And
it's this crazy brain of mine. I can't turn it off sometimes. What's going on?
And the classiest thing, two Fridays ago, I was on hold. We got to the end of the show. You picked up the phone yourself, and you said, James, call back tomorrow. Bye. That was you could have let me just float off into the ether. So I appreciate that.
I try my best. So, what's on your mind? Now, fill me in. What is your take on taxation? What's going on?
Okay. Well, first of all, everybody should pay the taxes they owe. Everybody. I do. Everybody should.
Right.
I don't recommend anything else. But the federal income tax started not in 1913 with the 16th Amendment. It started in 1862 as a tax on privilege. Lincoln and et al. Consider working with the government a privilege. So the people that owe federal income tax are employees from the federal government, officers of the federal government, like Elizabeth Warren,
yeah.
Thank goodness.
There you go.
And anybody exercising federal privilege. If you have a business that's on federal land, like a railroad that runs on federal rights of way, and you invest in that railroad and you make money, you owe taxes on what you made.
So what was the change then in 1913? What was the change in 1913? Did it add to that, or was it something completely different?
It did not. The 16th Amendment was designed to correct a faulty Supreme Court decision of 1895 called Pollock, which disrupted the tax revenue from those people that owed it. In 1916, and this is something you could check, you don't have to believe me, there was a Supreme Court decision called Brueschhaber. The Supreme Court Justice, his name was White, wrote in very clear English in this decision, Brueschhaber, the 16th Amendment did not create a new power to tax. You can also look at the Constitution. Article 1, Section 2, and Section 9 says there should be no capitation, which is a direct tax, only indirect taxes.
Well, then how are they getting away with it? Because people, how are they getting away with it, James? Because people just haven't read through like you have, or what?
Well, exactly, yes. And they started doing this almost 20 years ago. There are thousands of people, and myself included, filing this way. The IRS agrees with me that I owe no federal income tax. They've sent me all the money that was withheld back, et cetera, et cetera. So it's
I'm gonna stop. I want to say this. I don't believe that part of it. I believe everything you've said up until that. I don't believe that IRS, because I just sent them a huge chunk of money would make your face hurt, and I had to do that, because if I don't, they send all sorts of warnings and all sorts of letters, and they say we're gonna this, that, and the other, and start seizing your accounts and seizing this and that. Now I know that because I accidentally owed like $500 from a few years ago, and they were going nuts over this $500. So I can't imagine not sending them my federal income tax money and then just telling them, oh, refer to what James said, or go to 1913 or 16, or check out the Supreme Court. I want you to, but I want you to tell me what they told you when they sent back this money, because I'm having a hard time believing that part.
Well, just that. See, here's the thing. At the end of the year, you get a W-2 or a 1099.
Yes.
That's called an information return. That's an accusation that you had federal income tax. What you have to do is do an educated filing that says, no, I did not get federal income tax. There's a special form that you can download and so on and so forth. And when you file that way, the IRS says, oh, okay, he doesn't owe federal income tax. Joe, I have copies of the checks that, they've sent me.
Are you a W-2 employee or 1099?
Well, I'm both, but in both cases, I've refuted the
lawful. Well, with 1099, they're not holding anything back anyway. So with your W-2 money, they're already withholding it, and you're telling me they sent you back every dime that was withheld?
Social Security and Medicare, everything, absolutely everything, yes.
That actually makes no sense.
I
like the way that you started the conversation. Nobody listening right now or watching right now should try to not pay your taxes because of what James or what I'm saying. Do what you're doing and talk to an accountant or educate yourself or find out more about it. Certainly do some research, which you're saying is available online everywhere. But I don't want anybody to walk away from this and think, I'm just going to stop paying my taxes or tell the IRS to give them my money back. It's not going to work. What processes do you think people have to go through to find out more about this?
Well, there's a website that spells it out entirely, if I may.
I don't do that. I'm going to put you back on hold and let Sam take it from you so I can check it out first. I don't let websites just go out until I check them out.
I can email it to you again, Joe. I'm happy to do that.
Do that. Email it to me. Let me research it over the weekend, see how I feel about it. And if it gets to that point, I'll talk to my tax guy. Because at the end of the day, if I could have back the money that I just sent in, that would be pretty amazing. But that I don't, James, in this day and age, believe that you can get away with not paying federal income taxes. We'll see.
Joe, one last quick point, if I might.
Go ahead. Come on.
Until in 1939, 3.9% of the population were paying this tax because the rest didn't owe it. The rest of the people didn't go off to jail. In the 40s, FDR bamboozled everybody. They made a Donald Duck propaganda film, and they got everybody to start paying, and we're off to the races. We got suckered by the federal government.
I guarantee the federal government has been suckering us, and I also believe that the income tax was never supposed to be more than 3% or something, and of course it's way out of whack now, and it's, you know, it's high as almost 40% for some people. I'm going to check it out. James, send me that email, okay? I'm glad that we got the information out there.
Love you like a brother. I'll send it off tonight.
All right, brother. Appreciate you out of Boston. You know, and here's the deal. I want to be very, very direct about this. Do not stop paying your taxes because James said so. Let me research what he's talking about. I find it to be very hard to believe that there has to be some decision since 1916 or 1913 in the 16th Amendment. There has to be some court case that allowed for the federal government to automatically withhold. There has to be something that said you can make employees withhold this money. Now, there's some way for us to get a hold of the government and say, hey, I didn't owe federal income taxes this year. I'd like to see that happen. But I'm here to tell you, I find it really hard to believe. There are people way smarter than I, and maybe James is way smarter than I, but there are people way smarter than I that would not be paying federal income taxes if, in fact, that was the case. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Anthony, I've got less than a minute. Make it happen. Come on. All right. Barbara, about a minute. Come on.
Hi. Do you remember the couple of days before Nancy Pelosi got reelected to for a second term, she went on television and after a conference that she had with some of her members and said that if they would reelect her, she would only stay for 2 years. So they were only going to be electing her for 2 years if they voted her back.
Yeah, they all lie about that. Yeah, and the bottom line is with term limits, that wouldn't happen, right?
Yeah, that's right. The other thing is, yeah, I keep hearing all this stuff about what the government wants to do. They want to give us houses. They want to give us everything, you know. And can you imagine the kind of street brawl that would develop if they gave me a two-story house and I wanted a one-story house and my neighbor had extra lawns? You know, it's just crazy to think that we wouldn't blow up over somebody else telling us what we were going to, you know, love.
Barbara, I hear you, and I love that you called in. Thank you. Open line now, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We come back, as it's going to be Major Travis Yates, Tulsa PD. Do not touch that dial. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Also Newsmax TV, it's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have this guy on. He is a major at the Tulsa Police Department. It is Travis Yates. Travis, how are you?
Joe, thanks for having me on, sir.
Yeah, really a pleasure to have you. He's got a book out. It's called Courageous Police Leader, a survival guide for combating cowards, chaos, and lies. I love the title, and I want people to go and get that right now. He also posts blogs. He's got his website, which is stopcowards.com. I know that you're somebody who talks about police work well beyond Tulsa, but yes, I want to start in Tulsa if I can. There was a case recently that my friend Pat Campbell told me about, that a woman was pulled over as she was driving around at night, had her lights off. Now, I've been dumb enough to do that. You make a mistake every once in a while. You drive with your lights off. Police officer pulls you over, and generally speaking, here's how it goes. Hey, your lights are off. damn, I didn't even realize that. You turn it on. Maybe you show your license and registration. Right. If you don't look like you're inebriated, you're fine. You go about your way. In this case, Travis, this woman was pulled over. What happened?
Yeah, the officer pulled her over. She actually didn't stop right at first. She kept driving, drove into her apartment complex, come to find out. and the officer goes to make contact with her, it's much like what, you know, your audience would know, when the officer walks up to the car. But as the officer walks up to the car, she comes barreling out of the car. The officer tries to stop her. She barrels through the officer. She's not listening to the officer. The officer tries to get her back in the car. She refused. You know, she, you know, one thing leads to another, and the officer's, listen, you're not going anywhere. I've stopped you because of this.
Yeah.
And then at some point, obviously he discovers she was inebriated. She was intoxicated, and he goes to get her in handcuffs. And the fight's on. She starts struggling with him. She's
I got to stop. I got to stop you there, if you don't mind. Again, I love how you're telling the story, but I want to go way back to where he pulls her over. She jumps out of the car. Now, I'm not a police officer. I've got police officers in my family. I'm a firefighter's son. But if that happens, as a police officer, your first thought is she going to shoot me? Is she going to attack me? Why is she jumping out of the car? Because there are some agencies that ask you to get out of the car. But generally speaking, you sit in the car with your hands on 10 and 2 with the inside light on to show that you're not a threat to the officer. And then you deal with whatever the problem is. When she jumps out, what as an officer is your initial thought?
Obviously, most people have common sense. Most people know exactly what you just said, Joe. They stay in the car. Occasionally, people will come out of the car. But what happens is we'll say, get back in the car. Then they get back in the car.
Yeah.
It really becomes an issue when they start refusing commands at the very beginning, because the one common denominator for every officer encounter that ends up turning into use of force or deadly force, or unfortunately an officer dying in the line of duty, is noncompliance. And so when noncompliance begins, obviously our wheels start turning, or why is this happening?
Yeah. And so she barrels past the officer. She's trying to get inside the house. The story, he eventually arrests her after a struggle. The story that she goes and tells the media is what?
Yeah. A local politician, Regina Goodwin here in town, who is kind of known for doing these kind of things. She called a press conference, had the lady next to her. The lady never complained to law enforcement. This happened way back in January, but they call this big, massive press conference, and they tell this big, tall tale about how the officers threw her down, stopped her for no reason. This poor lady, you know, has been abused, and it goes on and on and on.
I don't think we've said this yet, but she's black, right?
African-American, yes, sir.
So at the end of the day, basically, you got pulled over because she's black. Driving while black is what the term is that some people use. That was their excuse here. There was no reason whatsoever for the contact.
Certainly. And of course, the political climate here in Tulsa is they're trying to make this big spectacle that law enforcement's using force against more African-Americans. You've seen that nationally. That's visited in every town in America. Yeah. And of course, we've been able to push back over that, show actual data, actual research. And that's hurt the cause a little bit. And so it wasn't surprising when these tall tales start getting told. And of course, I tell you, when you watch the video, and you can go to KFAQ's website, watch that video, the officer actually did a remarkable job. I tell you what, Joe, I've been in this profession for almost 27 years. If somebody does that to me, I want them handcuffed as quickly as possible. The longer a fight goes on, the more dangerous it is. And that officer actually spent 4 or 5 minutes just sort of struggling around with her, trying to get her handcuffed in the nicest way possible.
Yeah.
You know, she's not harmed. She's not hurt. She's not injured or anything else. You know, quite frankly, he could have got her handcuffed in 30 seconds. She probably would have been injured slightly, but it would have been done much quicker. But he went out of his way to do the best he could in a very difficult situation.
It's Major Travis Yates. He's from the Tulsa Police Department. Go to his website, stopcowards.com. Stopcowards.com, his book, Courageous Police Leader, a Survival Guide for Combating Cowards, Chaos, and Lies. So thank God for the body cam. Now, when body cams first came out, I kind of didn't like them. And the reason I didn't like them is because it suggested to me that we didn't trust you guys. And I do trust you guys. I think 95%+ of all police are great. I think there's some jerks, but there's some jerks who are talk radio hosts. At the end of the day, you guys do a thankless job, and you feel lucky to go home at the end of the night when you know there's a chance you might not. So I didn't like body cams at first, but stories like this continue to come out. Yeah. And I'm guessing, well, I certainly have turned my opinion on it. This is a great thing because he was completely exonerated in this, right?
It is happening almost daily. You see the story today out of Oregon where the officers were exonerated because of body camera. If it wasn't for body camera, I shudder to think where we would be as law enforcement today, because these complaints, the things that are being said about law enforcement are awful. It affects officers. It ruins their lives. I mean, officers are more scared of YouTube and social media than they are bad guys, and that's a problem. So body cameras inevitably save law enforcement, and that kind of proves how good we are, Joe. 85% of law enforcement in this country wear body cameras. Show me one other profession that will raise their hand and say, I will wear a body camera during my shift at work.
Yeah,
this politician's not doing it. I guarantee you that. Everybody screaming for us to do it aren't doing it. We will do it gladly because it shows how professional and good law enforcement is. And if we weren't doing that, can you imagine what would be said at that time?
No, I can't. But Travis, I got to ask you, were you hesitant at first too, or did you know that it would be beneficial?
You know, I knew it would be beneficial. I was hesitant on how it would roll out. I was hesitant how agencies would use it. But I tell you, I actually do believe we're not using them effectively enough. You know, we sort of wait to release body camera footage when a complaint happens, when use of force happens. That's really not the way to use them. We should be putting out as much of the videos as we can, showing a wide variety of spectrum of what law enforcement does. And it would show the public reality. That's why some folks aren't fans of live PD. We have a few select folks that are kind of screaming about that. Well, it shows reality. It shows how professional law enforcement is. What they want is they only want the camera footage to be seen where it shows law enforcement messing up. The problem is, Joe, they're having a hard time finding it, so they just start making things up.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's Major Travis Yates. He's got a new blog out called The End of Law Enforcement. Travis, what does that mean, The End of Law Enforcement?
You know, Joe, this was tough to write. I kind of held on to it for quite a long time. I've been traveling the country for about 15 years, training law enforcement, consulting law enforcement. So I talked to officers from all over the place. Just came from New York City, anywhere from New York City to the smaller agencies. And you know, we all have the same problems. But what I've heard in recent years, the problems are different. I'm hearing from officers from all different types of service, from brand new officers to veteran officers. And they're telling me, Travis, I'm getting out. We cannot deal with this anymore. Now, you got to understand this, Joe. Nothing has changed in law enforcement. The laws that we work under have not changed. Graham v. Conner, the use of force law, Supreme Court's been there since 1989. Nothing has changed. Bad guys haven't changed. Crime hasn't changed. But what has changed is the outrage. And it's that outrage that's driving social media. And officers are scared to death. They're going to be ruined for doing everything right. And we're actually seeing that. Every officer I talk to knows somebody it's happened to. They're scared it's going to happen to them. And so what we're finding out is officers, if they've got 20 plus years on, they're looking to get out immediately. If they're less than 20, they're looking to get out now. And the officers that just came on, they found out real quick it wasn't the profession they were promised, because quite frankly, I put the blame. We talk a lot about politicians in my book. Yeah. I talk a lot about where I think the blame really lies. And that's with our leadership, Joe. I think the leadership in law enforcement has got to step up when law enforcement is right and adamantly defend law enforcement. And we're just simply not seeing that on a scale large enough.
Well, the last thing we need is a police officer who's apprehensive when going to save a life or when going to make sure that the public is safe from somebody who's driving oddly or robbing a bank. I mean, you saw the video, I'm sure you did, because it sounds like you're almost referring to it, out of New York City, where these police officers were afraid to stop and do anything as they were having water doused on their heads, as they were just trying to serve a warrant or something. They knew that de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, would never, ever, ever, never have their back. That's not a good place to be in when you're supposed to be the guy upholding the peace.
Yeah, I got a lot of respect for these officers, because when I was on the streets 15, 20 years ago, I just had to worry about suspects. I just had to worry about violent criminals. They have to worry about that and their politicians and their mayors and their chiefs and their sheriffs. And there's so much more to worry about now when one individual with a cell phone can take a partial video of an encounter and all of a sudden it goes viral and you end up on CNN the next day for literally doing everything right. They have a reason to be concerned. Joe, this is the only profession on the planet where you can do everything right and be crucified and literally be ended. So we've got to turn that around, because these are good men and women that do this job and they deserve much better.
No, I hope we can. Let's talk about parenting when it comes to how people treat you guys when they encounter you. Again, look, I've got kind of a lead foot. Don't tell anybody, but I got a couple of sports cars and I go a little bit too fast. So I have encounters with police all the time. I also have encounters with police because, again, they're in my family and I like going on ride-alongs, and I've got good relationships with the police chief and whomever else. But having said that, I was raised that when a police officer talks to you, you smile, you talk back, you find out what he or she wants, and then you move about your day. We also found out that the police officer was our neighbor or a couple of streets over, or my best friend's father or mother might be a police officer. That you guys are just community members. You're just regular folks like the rest of us are. In some communities, like it or not, and it's being ginned up by these lawyers and by politicians and others, and by video that's being shown, you know, out of context, as you said, some people are raised to think police don't like you, they hate you, they suit up every day because they want to shoot you or somebody who looks like you. How can you possibly take somebody who learned that from age 2, who's now 19 or 20 or 21 out in the streets making contact with police, that you're not the bad guy? How do you turn it around?
It's almost impossible. And I'll tell you this, Joe, anti-police rhetoric is now a political ideology. It's not about holding police accountable. I mean, police are more held accountable than any profession on the planet. I mean, my goodness, we record everything we do. And if we're not recording it, somebody else is.
Right.
It's a political ideology. That's why you see the presidential candidates, especially in 2016, were bringing the mothers of violent criminals on stage with them to talk about the police. And so when that's the ideology, they have to feed the beast, so to speak. And so they're going to teach kids a certain thing. They're going to make up stories. They're going to lie. And by golly, if they find that one incident out of 800,000 officers and 100 million contacts in a year, and they find that one incident, they will talk about it on a 24-hour cycle. Yeah. And so the kids are being taught this. I've been involved in police athletic league for a number of years. I actually talk to kids almost every day, and you can tell the ones that have been taught that. They won't come up to you. They won't talk to you. They'll look at you a certain way. After a few minutes talking to them, they will tell you that. I had a kid recently tell me, Joe, that his mom and dad taught him as a kid to play hide and seek running from the police.
Wow.
And I actually thought, crazy. Yeah, I thought he was joking with me. He goes, no, Travis. He said, a lot of kids where I grew up were taught that. They are being taught to hate. That's no different than people being taught to hate because of people's color, because of their ethnic, because of their religious affiliation, or because of the job they do. It's no difference. And hatred, for some reason, is completely wrong in all other areas, except when it comes to law enforcement, it almost happens to be a rite of passage sometimes.
Yeah, it's Major Travis Yates. I think that you coming on this show, you talking to Pat as often as you do, live PD, cops, certainly, these shows and what we're doing right now, I think that helps because they see that you're a regular guy who really is concerned about this. And I know that you guys are concerned about every community. There was one piece of video I'm not sure if you saw, and I'll leave you with this. You probably did, where a police officer was called because there were some kids playing basketball on the street and they were making too much noise or something. Yeah. And he showed up and he started playing with them. And then later, I guess a week later or something, he had Shaq. I don't know if he got a hold of Shaq, but Shaq shows up and he starts shooting free throws with these kids. And if you make the free throw, I'll give you $100. And Shaq's message was, respect your family, respect your friends, respect your parents, right? Respect the police. And that sort of broke through a lot of barriers. There were a lot of kids, like you said, didn't want to go anywhere near this police officer because he had a uniform and he happened to be white. At the end of it, they all loved each other, high fives, and they can't wait to see each other again. I mean, little by little, we're little chunk by chunk, we're starting to get something done, aren't we?
That is how we get it back, Joe. I was glad you mentioned that. There was a sheriff in Kansas recently told me a quick story. He says, I have the 10-minute rule. I said, what's the 10-minute rule? He says, we go to a call, and the vast majority of police activity is calls for service. He said, I make my deputies stay 10 more minutes. Yeah. I said, what do? He goes, man, they hang out. They talk to the family. They talk to the kids. They get to That's know cool. people. That is where we have to get back to. And I think law enforcement, the thing is, community policing is a two-way street. Law enforcement is making an incredible effort to reach out to the community, but it takes the community to reach back.
It does.
We can put everything out there we can, but if certain parts of the community do not want to reciprocate, that makes things very difficult.
Hey, Travis, I appreciate your time. It's Major Travis Yates. His book is called Courageous Police Leader, A Survival Guide for Combating Cowards, Chaos, and Lies. Find out more at stopcowards.com. Stopcowards.com. Let's do it again, Major. I appreciate you.
Joe, thanks so much for what you do.
You're very welcome. We're back after this with the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
All right, great to have you. Joe Pags Show, joepags.com. Go there, scroll down a little bit. You'll see an area to put in your email address to subscribe to the newsletter. You get a newsletter Monday through Saturday, because I do the weekend with Joe Pags on Saturdays. And what you'll get is just basically a list of what's going to be on the show, what stories we're talking about, what interviews we're going to have, what songs might we sing. Yes, I will bring the Pags parody that I did a few days ago to the weekend with Joe Pags tomorrow. So go sign up. Doesn't cost you anything. I'm not going to spam your inbox. Just going to send you an email a day. Maybe two on a rare day if there's a special occasion. The president's going to call in, whatever. But go and do that right now. What's the big deal? JoePags.com. Scroll down a little bit and put your email address. If you can't sign up for some reason, some people have had trouble, just let me know by sending me an email. There's a link right there on the website. And I'll manually add you to the email list. Got about 6,000 or 7,000 on there now, and we certainly want to keep on building that to let people know what we're going to be doing on the program. All right, glad to have you here. I'll have a quick hit on Bruce Springsteen in a moment. In the meantime, I got to remind you about Ancestry DNA. Ancestry DNA, it's a cool way to find out exactly who you are. You've heard a lot about DNA in recent years, a lot of different people doing it, but why not go with Ancestry? That it's a name you know, It's probably a website you've gone to. I certainly have. And it's got an amazing amount of information, a plethora of information on where you come from, on where we all come from. Discover more about your ancestors, why they came, where they are, where they came from. Is your actual background what your parents think it is? And I don't mean that your parents are wrong, but just over the generations, you lose some track of, well, we had a relative that came from here and maybe over there. Find out exactly who you are by doing this DNA test by going to Ancestry.com/Joe Pags. It's an Ancestry DNA kit. I've sent mine off. I want you to do yours. Ancestry DNA available right now by going to Ancestry.com/Joe Pags. Ancestry.com/JoePags. Get that done right now. All right, 888-941-PAGS, JoePags.com. Probably don't have time for any more phone calls today on a Free Speech Friday, but I want to bring up Bruce Springsteen. The Blaze reports on him. This is from Dave Urbanski. I guess he says that the president has no grasp on what it means to be an American, and we live in a frightening time. Springsteen, who looks like he had makeup painted on him, to be honest with you, and a guy who has done, you know, the anthem Born in the USA. If you listen to the words in that anthem, it's basically an anti-Vietnam War song, I believe. But in the 1980s, we listened to that song. We acted like it was a great anthem for the country. Listen to the words. Iconic rock and roller Bruce Springsteen blasted President Donald Trump, saying he doesn't have a grasp on what it means to be an American. Well, that's nice. Springsteen made his comments during an interview with CBS This Morning. Co-host Gail King, it aired today, the network said. King pointed out Trump's comments during his Minneapolis rally earlier this month, and he doesn't need to celebrities like little Bruce Springsteen endorsing and supporting him, as Springsteen and many other luminaries did for former Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton. So he's going back to 2016, and this is now 2019. King told the outspoken left-wing musician, are you surprised that he's trash-talking you after all this time? Not really, Springsteen replied, laughing, anything's possible. I know, King answered. I mean, a lot of people are very concerned about the direction of the country, said the non-journalist Gail King. It's just frightening, Springsteen said. We're living in a frightening time. The stewardship of this nation has been thrown away to somebody who doesn't have a clue as to what that means. And unfortunately, we have somebody who I feel doesn't have a grasp on the deep meaning of what it means to be an American, said the guy who makes his living singing music and stuff. Paul, did I just take all your time? Did I just do pop culture myself? Is that what happened?
Yeah, you did.
Just give me one quick hit. Don't even play the music. What do you got? Here you go.
I was going to give you the music since you're doing it, but Jeff Bezos, he was number two as the world's richest man, and then now he's back to number one within the same day.
Wow. So yeah. The stock went down, went back up.
Yeah.
Got to go. Polo, Sam, Carrie, see you. Bye.